irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. I'm very honored to have some people that made music history, in my opinion. John Bisaha and Wally Stocker from The Babies. And my first experience, we were talking about this before the show, is I had a friend of mine that worked over at Chrysalis Records, and I had a little company that made pre-release cassettes for the record for the radio stations. And so he had sent me a copy of the album just as it just came out, and it was an amazing album. And it's just great to have the actual band members here on the show. Let me play a clip real fast, and then I'll introduce everybody, and we'll get right into it, because there's a lot to talk about. So this is one of their big hits, Every Time I Think of You, and it's I pulled a clip of it showing the guitar lead. It starts, you'll hear the guitar lead in there, which is Wally. So take a listen.
Doesn't get old.
Welcome, Wally and John, to the show. It's great to have you here. Real quick, first of all, we have to talk gear. What are you using on that clip?
For that solo, mm-hmm. I was using my Les Paul. Mm-hmm. It's actually a Gary Moore edition Les Paul, mm-hmm. Gibson. And I was going through my my Marshall. It's a little combo that I have, 3-channel combo with a stereo chorus built in.
Is that a 50 watt or 100 watt?
I think it's about 60, maybe 65. 60 watts. Yeah, something like that. But it has a stereo chorus built in, so it mm-hmm. goes from one speaker to the other, you know, and it's kind of a nice thing in the combo. It's an open back combo. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it still has that kind of richness to it. And I use another chorus, just a floor pedal, you know, Roland stereo chorus. And that's about it, really.
Pretty straightforward.
More or less, yeah. Sometimes I kick in the reverb for some solos, you know, more of a room sound more than a hall sound, you know.
Now, does you guys play some pretty good sized venues? Does that open back? Does that work for you? Or I mean, I know you're pushing the PA that's doing most of the work, but does that hinder the sound as opposed to a 4x12 cabinet that's sealed?
When we play bigger places, I usually go for the 4x12 cabinet with the head, you know, the 100-watt head. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I get complaints from the sound guy, and you're going to have to, you know, face it the other way because you're blowing my head off, you know. So, but the little combo for that show and that solo, you know, was just enough for that room.
Yeah, it gets it's a great sound.
Yeah.
And then, John, what were you using? What do you use for the group?
Yeah, so for the smaller shows, I've got an Ampeg. I've got one of their little 700-watt combos with two 4x12 cabs. But for the larger shows, I have the 8x10s with the full-on, you know, 1,000-watt, the SVT VR. Mm-hmm. That's typically what we're able to put in the back line in the rider to get that out. You know, this sounds really a full, rich, round tone back to the basics, man. It's 70s for my tone, right?
Well, so you can't beat it.
No, not at all. No. So, you know, that's where I go. So, yeah.
And then what bass do you use?
I'm fortunate enough to be sponsored by a company called Italia. I was introduced by Ricky Phillips, ironically, to them at NAMM. I think it was shortly after I was announced as being the new baby singer. Ricky called up Tony and said, "Hey, you know, we're going to be doing NAMM this year," and the company that sponsored him is a company called LPD International, LPD Music International out of Michigan, and they're having their 50th. So he said, "Let's go do a little bit of a show together. We'll do about five or six Babies tunes, you and John and Dave Amato playing guitar." So that was fun. So we kind of blew people away in a little 200-seat room that had about 500 people inside and about 400 out, which was great, you know, and announcing that the Babies were getting ready to come back. So through that interaction, Ricky hooked me up with the folks at LPD, who hooked me up with Italia, and they make my basses now. So the latest that I'm playing is their Imola GT. So yeah, it's Imola. Yeah, Imola. They basically name their guitars after fast cars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, cool. So it's fabulous. Yeah.
No, the sound is great. Now let me ask you. Let me get back to Wally for a second. Early Babies, what were you using, and how much has it changed in terms of your setup and your guitar rig?
It really hasn't changed that much. Back in the earlier days, I'd brought my Marshalls over from England when we came out here, and I was using a super bass head, and I brought over a super lead head, and then when I got here, I got another Marshall top which had the preamp in it. I had to get my two other heads sort of modified because I was bringing them over to the States.
Yeah, they're 220, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, did you notice the
240 over there.
Oh, 240. Yeah. So did you notice the difference in the sound going from 240 to 110? Because a lot of people say it really was a big difference.
Not really. You know, not that much of a drop-off, you know. I was experimenting with the early Nadig wireless system, and I found my sound was dropping off more using that than actually having the heads modified, you know. So I've always used the cable ever since. I never did go wireless.
Yeah, because Wally's kind of like Angus Young on stage, though, so you know that.
Yeah, well, you're moving. That's true.
No,
yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Sorry.
So that was it. It was like three full stacks, you know, which obviously I wouldn't use all the cabs, but they were there for show. But I would use both amps, and I'd come out, I'd run out of a Roland Chorus CE1, I think they were called. This big old sort of concrete-looking foot pedal from before the Boer War.
Yeah, that big gray one, I think it was.
Yeah. But that ran out in stereo, so I just went to two different heads. So, you know, I had this sort of stereo effect going on with the Marshall stacks, you know.
Now, it's interesting that you used a bass head. I mean, you had also a lead head, but you used the bass head. Was it a bluesier sound, or are you just...
It was just one of those amps, you know, you switch it on and plug in and
just had that sound.
Run your finger down the controls until everything's, you know, redlining. and it sounded great, you know, you just plug the Les Paul straight in, and I use that super bass on every Babies album, all five of the albums.
That's a great sounding amp.
I don't have it now. In fact, I had all my equipment stolen. Yes. Everything that I treasured. I had those three amps we were talking about, all in one flight case. And all the cabinets had their own flight cases, and the lot
got
was gone.
Stolen.
Yeah.
No, let me ask you this about the cabinets. Did you have the bigger cabinets like Hendrix used?
Those, no.
Or just the smaller 4x12?
Yeah. They would all be, how would you say? They used to make Marshall cabinets that had the slant.
The angled and the straight.
Yeah, I would just have the straight. I wouldn't have the angled ones. So I'd have six straight ones.
Six straight ones.
Yeah.
Oh, those, they're a little deeper. I mean, there is more, there's a physics to it. There's definitely a little more, but that's a great sound.
Didn't they change the piping on the cabinets when you guys?
Sometimes it was white and sometimes it was gold, you know.
The piping. But yeah. I remember in a session, somebody had one of the old Plexi Marshalls at the studio that they wanted me to use. And it didn't sound like most of your typical Marshalls. Had a real darker, bluesier sound. I mean, it was like Cream. It sounded like Cream. And I've been talking to Celestian and Marshall to try to find out how come it sounded like that. And from what we're hearing now, it was the grill cloth, that heavy tweed grill cloth, rolled the highs off. And it was part of that sound. You probably had one of the old ones. It would give you that bluesier sound.
Yeah.
So anyway, just a little tidbit.
Now
there.
That bass head, though, super bass, like I say, you just start it up and
it
look
just,
out.
It just had a great, great...
And like I say, I used it on every record, you know. You can actually hear, by the time we get to the fifth album, you can hear the amp sort of deteriorating, let's say. You know?
Really?
Yeah, but it was the same amp and pretty much the same guitar all through those years, you know.
You still have that same Les Paul?
No, I don't, unfortunately. That was the one that I brought over, actually. It was a Les Paul Custom Sunburst. Mm-hmm. And,
three pickup or two pickup?
Just the two pickup. You know, the Sunburst with the Cream surrounds and the covers off the pickups. And it was sweet. It was. It would play itself, you know.
Well, are you using now an older Les Paul or a newer one?
Well, I'm using the Gary Moore.
The Gary Moore?
Yeah. I'm happy with the Gary Moore.
The sound of it.
Yeah. That's the Gary Moore on that
clip.
Solo.
Yeah,
yes.
The Gary Moore. Oh, that's a great... Yeah, well, also Gary Moore was... his sound to die for. He was another great player.
Yeah.
Tell me a little more about your background leading up to the Babies, and then I want to get into John's background because there's a whole story there too. But how did you fall into it, and what was your influences, and you know, the early days, your music, because you've played with several people. You mentioned that you did a gig for Air Supply, and you played a lot of other gigs besides the Babies. You've been doing a lot of stuff. So,
yeah.
But what was your early influences, and how did you fall into the whole Babies thing?
I think influences, I think when I first see The Shadows with Hank Marvin behind Cliff Richard, you know, the Shadows would do instrumental songs of their own, you mm-hmm. know, and then there'd be Cliff's backing band. And, you know, I kind of, that caught my eye, you know, when I was young. It was like, oh, that's kind of cool, you know. So he was like an early influence. And mm-hmm. then, you know, I was listening to, wow, there's so many, you know. I think the Kinks, you know, mm-hmm. when I first heard those early Kinks songs, you know, You Really Got Me and All mm-hmm. the Day and All the Night. And they kind of had this tough guitar sound, you know, from Dave. And, you know, that was something that I hadn't heard before.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, The Who, I love Townsend and Cream, of course. And then I used to go and see Rory Gallagher.
Yes, yeah. Great player.
Yeah. And then I'd go and see Free whenever I could, you know, if ever they were in town or I could get to their show, I would always go and see them. So many, the Grease Band with Joe Cocker, you know, and, you know, Small Faces, and then, of course, Humble Pie, and, but so many, you know, Hendrix, of course, and the Stones, you know, Leslie West.
Yes, you know, but you were based in London, right? So you were in that scene. You saw all that.
Oh yeah.
So you were influenced to all of that stuff.
Oh yeah. You could go down. I see Led Zeppelin at the Marquee Club. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And they were billed as the new Yardbirds, I think, at that point. And then they did a return visit, and I went down there and see them again. See The Who in a theater, like a cinema theater in London, and they had the James Gang open for them.
Wow.
That was the first time I had ever seen the James Gang, and of course Joe Walsh. And I came away from that concert, you know, not only blown away with The Who, but next day up the record store and check out the James Gang record, you know. So lots of different players, and lots of different bands and sounds and styles, you mm-hmm. know, and sort of take a little bit from that one and a little bit from that one and kind of, you know, try and develop a style of your own without having to, you know, with not sort of trying to steal from other people, you know.
Well, that's what Joe Walsh did, you know. That's, you know, you have to borrow from everybody else. That's part of it.
Yeah.
So, but that, no, let me, I'm going to play a clip, Back on My Feet Again, where you're doing the lead. And let's take a listen, because one of the things I noticed in the clips that I have here is you'll milk the note for, you'll just bend it, and which is great, because I love blues-based music, but you'll just milk it, and it just goes forever and ever and ever. But let me play this clip for you. Those bends are just great. I mean, now, is that's the newer Marshall? Is that the little combo on that clip?
Where was that from?
It probably was. It sounds like it was at the same show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it would have been that little combo.
And that's a tube. That's a Foley tube tube
stay? It's off and off. It's a tube and transistor, yeah.
Because it gets a really nice sustain. I mean, you got plenty of sustain on that puppy, and it's, yeah. I mean, those notes just hold forever. I mean, and it's, you know, it's just, I love that. It's just, it's very expressive. Now, you're bending up, right? Or do you pull down?
Yeah, no, bending up.
You're bending up for that. It's just a great sound. Now, let me go a little bit and talk a little bit with John about you getting in the group, because this is an interesting situation here where you came in. The original group had John Waite, and you were filling some shoes, big shoes there to do that. Let's talk a little bit about your background and how you came about getting into the babies, because you've done a lot of different things, and I know you've been in a lot of musicals. I'm blown away that you were in Jesus Christ Superstar and toured all over the world. That's not an easy gig to do. That's some major singing in there.
Died every night. But, you know, came back to life. It was awesome. I've been singing since I was a pup. I used to do little jingles, you know, for KLAC radio when I was four years old when I said I moved out here. So yeah, it's been a long, long time. But I'm kind of that, you know, this vein, the babies, that era, you know, 70s and 80s classic rock, and you know, did it on the strip forever until the flannel and rap came a little bit and kind of knocked us out for a little while, right? Mm-hmm. When you got to being paid to, you had to pay to play, it was kind of time to move on. And that's when I started doing musicals. So yeah, I would go and tour all over the place doing Superstar, and you know, either at one place replace Ted after he'd want to take a little bit of break, or just hold the phone a little bit, you know, or Sebastian Bach did a couple that I had to come on after that. Had a good time with it, you know. Mm-hmm. Keeps the chops going, right?
Right.
My Jesus was after Ian Gillan, so you know, I mean, that's a voice, right? So you know, I figured, you know, hell, if I can sing, you know, how Ian sings Jesus, then I'll be okay.
Did you originally start on bass, or were you a guitarist?
No, you know, fun truth be told, I can't play the guitar. I can play a few chords on the guitar. Both of my kids can play the guitar. My daughter at 6 or 7 started playing the guitar, and she's like, Daddy, I see you've got a bunch of basses, but you don't have any guitars. Why? And I go, I can't play an F chord. And she goes, oh, like this, pramp, or like this, pramp. I'm like, yeah, go away. Go back. So no, I was always the bass player by necessity. I'm a singer, right? I know enough about a bunch of instruments to be able to write tunes, right? I can play enough piano. I know my chords. I can play enough guitar, enough riffing out to do stuff. But I was the guy that, you know, when the bass player left, or we were having trouble trying to find it, I had enough wherewithal to kind of, you know, self-tune, self-teach to be able to do it. I've got a right and a left brain, so I applied mathematically how to learn bass in my early teens, and kind of took it forward. So, you know, it's been a labor of love, you know. I mean, it kind of went away for quite a long while. Like I said, when the 90s came around, I didn't, you know, bass playing for me, that I wasn't going to make my living doing that. I had to make my living singing. So I really resurrected my bass playing when I auditioned for the Babies 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where it came all
back. Let's talk a little bit about that, because it's interesting going into an established group. And how did that work out? I mean, what were the challenges? Obviously, they wanted you to sound like the hit records and stuff. How strict was it? Was it, you know, did you have to play exactly, or did you have to do this exactly, or was it a little looser?
You know, it started off, I went through about 3 months of auditions with Tony. So, Tony, if you're listening, you owe me. You owe me lots. yeah, it was about 3 months. I don't know. Eight times, 10 times, maybe, you know, there were a bunch of people who'd auditioned at the end of the day. They brought it back to about 3 or 4 of us. And, you know, we started, you know, kind of dueling. It was the dueling group, you know, doing 3 or 4 guys. We had to sing Isn't It Time and Head First. Each time, 10 times. 10 times singing it several times. It was fun. But, you know, at the beginning, it was that. We need to make sure that we can at least capture a tone, because the thought was, if we're going to come back after 30-some-odd years, the guy who's going to be replacing John Waite sure as heck better represent John Waite pretty well.
Right.
And if he could sing and sound like him, would be better. So my auditions, I sounded a lot more like John than I sound like John today. Mm-hmm. You know, I've morphed into, I've got a tone that's naturally a little bit on par, so it's not, you know, I can shape, if I need to. And so in some cases, you know, I do. There's a lot of bite and certain grit things that are just kind of inherent in me. But guess what? I was a huge Babies fan when I was 15, 16 years old. So, you know, I would say weight helped develop a little bit of my voice. You know, he's definitely in the top five. So, yeah, that was about 3 months of going through that. And, you know, as we've morphed through this, you know, I bring my own spin to things. I play, well, I'll sing probably 90%+ of what really is laid down to the record. I think that I owe that to the fans who come to sing and come to watch a show, that the guy who's singing is going to represent the songs the way they know them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I do that. I'll bring a little bit, though, of myself. So there's about 5-10% of me that's in there, or maybe some embellishments or some flavors. But by and large, I'm singing to the record. And regarding playing, you know, the beauty of the Babies was the fact that they were very clever but simple. They had parts that just worked, right? You know, and they had a groove that they, you know, so I don't really try to muck with that groove. I try to lock in. I'll probably play 90% of what the bass lines are, and then occasionally I'll stretch myself a little bit. And you were talking earlier, you know, going up the neck. You know, very rarely were the Babies ever up on the neck. You know, they're sitting down, you know, mm-hmm. you know, right in the A to the, you know, A to D, sitting right in that spot, you know, G, A, just out in there, a little bit of E stuff. But for me, yeah, it was fun to be able to just go ahead and stretch a little bit. But I tell you, coming back, being able to play on, in my case, better equipment, right? Even as an older guy, and figuring out how and what instrument would work for me. Back in the old days, it was, hey, give me that cool, you know, bass that just looks good, you know, and maybe it plays good enough, but you're impetuous and you want to go buy the first thing that you see, right? Now we're able to be a little bit more selective and then get things made for you, which is even better.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a complete difference. It's a 180 from where I was 30 years ago than I'd say where Wally was 30 years ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he had top of the line then and is able to do the same now, which is pretty cool. It's been a metamorphosis, which is very, very, very cool.
Well, I noticed that in hearing you sing some of the songs, some of those lines, John would, in the original, would get really, it's some high stuff and he would just make it.
Mm-hmm.
But you just nailed it. I mean, your range is much, from what I'm seeing, you have more of a vocal range, but you hit those high notes and just nail them.
I have fun with it, man.
With plenty of power. You can
Thanks.
Tell you've been singing for a long time.
You know, we have similar voices, but we're a little bit different, right? I come from just that next era, you know, so I'm a much more percussive singer. John's got a good blend from being very, very soft and being, you know, emotive,
mm-hmm,
right,
mm-hmm.
than to being able to go ahead and just go ahead and crank, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guy's got a phenomenal voice. I think my style is brought more to the rock side than, let's say, classic rock, pop,
mm-hmm.
power pop, which is kind of where the Babies were in the 70s and 80s. Like now we've morphed a little bit past the 80s a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, we bring a little bit of punch to it.
Well, I'm going to play a clip. I edited together two parts of it. This is a longer piece. It's called Looking for Love, and there's a groove that you guys go into and then the bass line. So give them an idea of what you're doing on the bass.
Sure.
And there's some really cool things that are happening here, and then we'll get a little more into it. This is Looking for Love.
How the guy still plays this, it just keeps going, blows me away.
We'll be right back. that's just really solid, that bass playing. And that's Joey's. That was Joe. You're doing the chords, the chorus chords,
yes,
and that's Joey.
That's Joey on the solo there.
So, but it's interesting. It's a great sound. Then you, there's a little part in there. You kind of go up and you did a little thing, I think.
I did a couple little octave things. But if the pull on the video there, if you continued a little bit, I think I go and do some choreography with the girls, which is really fun. That's, that gets your cardio going. Yeah, there's a couple of pieces on that. Yeah, up there I'm able to go up on top. There's a few songs I'll stretch, like I said, stretch out. Every Time I Think of You, mm-hmm. we'll get up there. Not Ready to Say Goodbye, I'll get up there. But Looking for Love, yeah, I'll do a couple of little things where I'll just do, you know, a couple of two-octave runs up the top and then bring it right back
down.
That's
a great groove, and yeah. the drum's just right spot on. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's a great riff going
yeah.
there. And, now, I'm going to play a clip in a minute, mm-hmm. and that's it's a studio clip of I See You There. And this is from is this post the Newer Babies? Is this an album for the newer babies, or is this
Yeah, this was actually an album we released in 2014. The album was called I'll Have Some of That. And I See You There was the first official video and single that we pushed off the record, got to number 5 on Billboard's Hot 100 single sales for a couple weeks, and then I think we got to number 6 on Adult Contemporary Top 100 Radio, which was
That's
fun.
That's very, very
hey, you know,
cool.
I figured, you know, part of the shtick is, you know, we've had a nap longer than Rip Van Winkle, you know, so we appreciate you having us on, right? I mean, it's a labor of love trying to get this thing back on track, because the people that go Gumby about it, right, you haven't seen this in 30 some odd years, but the cool thing is the bands like us. You know, I mean, you've got your Journeys, right? And you've got your Sticks. They're always out there, and they're always playing, right? So you got your Cheap Trick, you know, the top tier ones that are all jamming. And then you got the tier twos that are going and doing their thing. And I won't name names, but, you know, when you go, you can go ahead and close your eyes a little bit and listen, and it sounds really good. But then you open your eyes, and it's a little old. And that's, I think, where we come into play, where we're that next bridge that's kind of like this breath of fresh air for this music, because it hasn't been heard in 30 some odd years.
Yeah,
catalog's rich, and it's played to the record, and we have a good time doing it, and there's a lot of energy. So the fans are typically on their feet the whole show, and that's a cool thing.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, because after 30 years now, you're doing a new album. So where are your heads at? What was your approach? Was your approach to sound like the older albums, or to take it in a completely different direction? And neither of you can answer this. I mean, you know, are you pushing beyond? Is it like beyond the babies, so to speak?
Sure.
Because, you know, that's 30 years.
Well, it's, you know, we never wanted to lose that sound, though, you know. The whole approach to this new record was, you know, we have to capture the sounds that we had, you know, for those early 5 albums, and you know, the big drums and big guitar sound, and so, you know, the approach for this new record was exactly that. You know, we cannot lose that. You know, we worked too hard to achieve that sound, you know, and so we wanted the new record to, you know, we'd even brought in a analog board to record it, you know. We could have easily have done it on the computer, you know.
Did you go to tape and then dump it into like a digital?
No, Tony actually engineered and produced the record, so he's more up on it than I am on that. But you know, just the warmth of that analog board, which is what we used to use in the earlier days, you know, so that helped, you know, kind of recapture that sound for us as well, you know, as opposed to it just being all digital and very clean and, you know. So, but at the same time, you know, we got John and Joey in the band now, so, you know, they're both songwriters. So,
right.
You know, we sort of incorporated all the ideas and consolidated and, you know, still capturing that sound, you know.
Right, but it's interesting. Yes, John and Joey are bringing what their backgrounds, and it's a pretty diverse background. But also, too, after 30 years playing with all these different people, that has to have an influence on your whole approach in terms of your own, your music, because you've grown.
Yeah.
You played all these other gigs and you did all that stuff. And I understand, yes, you got the essence of that, the core sound of the Babies, but musically, it sounds like you had to go and you're taking it in a whole different area, because you've, your musical, the knowledge of the music that you've experienced in 30 years has to have, you know, it's much broader than when you first started, you know.
Yeah.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the cool thing is the record that we did had, it was a mixture of songs that Tony and Wally had incorporated instrumentally right after the Babies broke up.
Ah.
So we had probably half the album is 30 plus years of instrumental music that was brought forward. And then the other half was written, you know, by Joey and myself. You know, Joey wrote several tunes on the record, and, you know, I did a couple tunes, and then I did a lot of lyric stuff on the Tony and Wally songs. So it had, you know, it had stuff that was written 2 weeks and stuff that was written 30 years ago. And the, you know, the deal was to try to get that thing done in under, I think, gosh, how long did we have? Under 2 months. So we started February 1st. We had to have it out by tax day. So it was 6 weeks to track it, 2 weeks to mix and master it. It was 24 hours, 24/7. It was, you know, woo.
Was it a difficult album to mix and put together, or was it a pretty straightforward thing? Did you guys play live, or was there a lot of overdubs?
No, it was all dubs, right? So some of the shtick was the next time that we play these songs live will be the first time we've ever played them as a band. You know, some of the new stuff off when I'll Have Some of That came out, and then we started touring on it. We play Sunrise and Goodbyes. We play every time we play Not Ready to Say Goodbye. I See You There. And so we'd never ever played them live before. If Joey wrote the song, we'd get a bed map out of it, start laying down drums, nothing was organically created. They were all created one bed at a time, which was, you know, a very odd way to go ahead and do it. The next record that we do, which we've got a couple things in the works. I mean, there's going to be, we're really going to probably redo, you know, a good portion of the anthology record, and then throw in some new ones. So we'll have some, you know, organically created stuff, and then redo some of the hits.
Oh, great.
You know, and do that. So that'll be
cool. It'll be interesting to see where you take them.
Yep.
The old cuts, where you're going to take them. I have a studio cut of I See You There. Tell me a little bit about that cut.
Sure.
And then I'll play that. And then I also have, you mentioned Sunrise and Goodbyes. I have a live cut of that where there's a bass vamp in there too. So I want to show something. So I'll play that in a minute, but let's talk real quick about I See You There, and I'll play this.
Yeah, I See You There was a song that Joey brought to the band. He'd had that for a while. It had a nice metamorphosis, I guess, if you will. You know, we would call things like we babyfy things, right? You know, everybody brings something to the table, and then Tony would do some production and work on it. We would all talk about certain things, and you would see things that would morph. The good thing is Joey and I were, like I said, really good fans of the Baby, so we want to stick true to, you know, keeping the vibe there, because, you know, why change it, right? We're not doing an about face. I mean, it was, you know, they were one album short of just being the next thing, you know, and so anyway, good for me, I guess, right? You know,
well, I mean, the clips that you sent me, which is good, I'm glad that I had the majority of them are live clips, so these guys are gigging all the time, so you can go see them, and this is what they sound like, and it's really tight, and the interplay between you and between, I'm pointing to Wally, and Joey is great. I love the little echoing things of the guitars doing different things. That works great. It reminds me a little bit of some of the Humble Pie type of interaction between Frampton and Marriott. But I think that's important. But this studio clip is very interesting. So let me play it, and then we'll talk a little bit more about that.
Sure.
Dreaming
my favorite part. Love that bend.
That high bend.
Uh-huh, the little bendy. Oh, it gets me every time.
Now, what is, just real quick, what is Joey using? Is he using a Les Paul and a Marshall, too?
No, Joey's he's using, I think it's an Anderson.
Tom Anderson.
Tom Anderson, yeah. Guitar is his main guitar. He has a, it's kind of, it's a strange shape. It's like a cross between a Tele and a Strat,
yeah,
almost. And he does have a Tele, doesn't he?
Made, he does have a Tele. Guy. He's got a little Gibson, a little like kind of almost. I think he's got like an SG, I think too. But yeah, most of the time he plays an Anderson.
Yeah.
And then what's he using amp wise?
He had an amp built.
Metropolis.
Yeah. It's supposed to be built and represent a super bass.
Ah, so he emulated the.
That's
super
what
bass.
He tells me anyway. And
but he won't let Walt touch it.
No, I can't use it. I can't even look at it.
Yeah, he walls it off, man. He has like his own pipe and drape for the doggone amp, man.
And he has a variety of pedals. You know, that reminds me, we have to take those pedals away from him.
Oh, yes.
No, he's a good lad. I couldn't name all the pedals that he uses, but...
Both of you guys have that... They just love to bend those notes, which is great. And then when he hits that high one that you were just saying in this last clip, it's just killer. It's a great, you know, it's a great sound.
Yep. It's just a different... The way he plays blows me away. Love it.
And those drums are huge.
Yeah.
That kick drum, that's just a great... Because it's a very open type of sound. It's like there's no dampening on the head, but it's deep, so it gets the snap.
He turns his beater around and beats the crap out of that bass.
Yeah.
You know, we've had shows where one show we were playing with Jefferson Starship, and the downbeat of the first song is Back on My Feet Again, and a downbeat, bomb, and everything goes out. Mm-hmm. No stage monitor, no nothing. And we played that whole song until they finally figured out the problem. Maybe three quarters of the way through, we basically play. And so I'm locked in ears. I hear nothing. I felt that bass drum on a huge stage hit me in the back to keep me in, you know, because I couldn't hear my bass. I couldn't hear anything. I'm just praying that, you know, there's that, you know, when you go to your head, you know, I'm kind of locked in on a pitch. So I'm okay from that standpoint. But oh, my gosh, you know, how am I going to hear Tony? And I got a playback, a 2-track playback went. We were like, oh, my gosh, it was just amazing.
Right on.
Yeah.
Just locked
it
in there.
Love it.
Now, I'm going to play real quick the other clip that I have, a live clip of Sunrise and Goodbyes, which is from the new album, again, to show the evolution of the band and show what they're doing. And this is cool. There's a really cool bass thing in here. So let me play that clip.
Sounds good, ladies. Sunrise. Goodbye, goodbye. Let's do that one more time. Sunrise. Goodbye, goodbye.
It's great because it gets that funk feel, and there's the interplay. You can hear the interplay between Wally and Joey, which is great.
Yep.
You guys complement each other perfectly, and that's a great song. I mean, it's a killer song, but I like the kind of funky groove to it. Again, I'm a big funk fan, so... And you get, it's an interesting little bass riff that you're doing in there.
You know, just trying to keep a little bit of funk rock into it. Boom, boo, do, do, boo, do, do, yum, bonk, bonk, bonk. You know, just trying to get a little bit of some sort of slappy, funky kind of thing in there that we could do. My favorite part is that little breakdown that you just had, right? Having the girls going, you know, with our little breakdown thing happening, you know, a little bit of audience participation going on. It's a it's got a nice little wave of it's a smorgasbord of different parts in that song, which are really nice, you know, very
yeah.
cool. And then we kind of almost go into the swing part during the, you know, it's like a slowdown during the leads, mm-hmm. right? You know, but it's still just carrying the whole thing straight through it. So pretty cool stuff.
Well, it's interesting, and too, and your live act too, from what I'm hearing of these clips. There's a lot of dynamics in there, and the clip we'll play at the end of the show, which is coming up, Isn't It Time? I have the piano coming in, so you're going to hear the whole riff of, because that was one of your big hits, and it shows the whole evolution. Then it goes into the guitar, is just, you know, yeah. and it's solid drive, yeah. and it's interesting because there's a lot of dynamics there. So you have keyboards, and it adds. So there's a lot of different things, and I think it's absolutely totally cool to bring back that clavinet. That just a great sound.
Yep.
I know it became a cliche during the 80s and stuff and everybody hated it, but
well, yeah, it was on Match Game, man.
That color was just when you go into them, that little yep. groove is going on, it's perfect.
Yeah,
you know,
very cool. Thank you.
I love those clavinets. They were a lot of fun in the day.
I'll give Tony another dollar. I want clavinets in that spot. Okay, Tony. I hear the clavinet. All right, Tony.
Now, we're almost out of time. I told you it would go by really fast. I want to mention www.thebabiesofficial.com is the site to check out what's going on with you guys. Tell me a little bit, what's the schedule for this new album? When's this new album coming out?
We're just negotiating right now, right? We've got... I think we've got the means and the ability to go ahead and do it. Different campaigns and other things that we can do to get the word out and what have you. For us, I think the main reason to do one, we need to make sure that we can do it and promote it, right? So we're just trying to make sure that the right thing's out there for us to really get the word out. You know, I mean, we had our album out in 2014. We didn't really have a lot of promotion budget, you know, publicity budget and stuff like that to get the mm-hmm. job done. And I think that's, you know, something that we learned. So there's lessons learned. So there's going to be, we're working not only on a studio album, but, you know, some of these tracks that you heard are some of the beds for a new live album that we can do.
Oh, very,
so
very
we're,
cool.
We're trying to get some things out to the fans, generate, you know, I think we're the world's best kept secret. Everywhere we go, you know, people are standing, and every time we come back, there's more people and more people. But, you know, doing it in front of the masses is, you know, somehow, some way, it's the labor of love to try to get us there. So I think the next album is kind of, you know, predates making sure that we've got the ability to make sure that we promote it the right way and
right.
get it into the venues, get it into the hands of the people that are going to be able to promote it. Try to get it on TV. You know, can we get on a Kimmel show? Can we do something like that? You know, I mean, there's opportunities for us. I think it's just to be able to get in front of the masses that's going to get us back.
Well, I think the thing that needs to be said is that you guys are gigging regularly and the band is tight. It's
yep.
not like you're just coming together once in a blue moon to play. You guys are playing all the time, and the band is tight. I mean, it's a great sound. I mean, I love the balance of it, the way you guys are and what you're doing. It's a great live show. I mean, in terms of what I'm hearing musically,
mm-hmm.
But I think that that's a good thing. And I think, yeah, the word needs to get out. I in doing the research, I saw all of what you guys are doing, but prior to that, I didn't know. You're right. I didn't think that you guys were even playing.
Well, you know, I mean, they left in 1981, right? So our generation of people, if they're not on Google trying to search the Babies, you know, and a lot of, you know, some of the fans might be a little bit older that aren't necessarily computer literate or want to be, you know, so there's got to be a word of mouth somehow, some way to get to them. So if you're not out there searching for it, you'll never know until somebody tells you. So
yeah.
We're kind of like that shampoo, just tell two friends and so on and so on, and maybe someday we'll get there.
Well, I definitely want, when you're close to releasing the album, please let me know. We'll go through the album.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah,
I'd love that opportunity. And we'll get more into, then we'll get into what you did in the studio. So remember what you used. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I just want to thank you guys. It's great. Check out www.thebabiesofficial.com. The stuff's great. There's plenty of videos of them on YouTube. You got to check out all these clips that I played were from YouTube videos. Check out what they're doing. Their live act is really, really great.
Hey, you know, live act, we're playing this Saturday at St. Rock in Hermosa Beach, 211.
Very
Bring
cool.
your honey. I'll sing to her for you.
And are you guys going to be any other dates that we should know about?
Yeah, local in Southern California, we've got several dates in April. We're going to be at the Canyon Club. We'll be at the Rose. We'll be at the Coach House. I think those are the
main three venues. Okay, anything out of state? Because we do have out of state.
Yeah, no, we're tying some things. We do a lot of stuff in the Midwest. So, you know, Cleveland, Akron, Detroit, Philly. Nothing that's penned in yet, but we got a couple working things trying to get the logistics worked out.
Yeah, and then I'll have some of that's available everywhere, right?
You can get it on iTunes. You can come to our website and get a copy. We'll even autograph it for you.
Oh, very cool.
Tony can go ahead and he forges pretty well.
Well, again, thank you. Check out that album. It's really great. And check out the YouTube videos and what they're doing. If you get a chance to see them play, it's I'd recommend it. It's some great stuff, and you know what you guys are doing, it's great, and there's a history to it that's important, and I think that it definitely, what you guys were doing, it had an influence on the overall effect of the you know, rock music. The Babies did have an influence, and that sound, you know, it was important. I mean, there's you know, after all the techno and after all that stuff, it's definitely a classic rock sound. The two guitars, the bass, you know, and what you guys are doing. You know, a Les Paul and a Marshall, can't beat it.
Can't beat
it's
that.
It's a marriage made in heaven. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, I'm going to leave us with. I'm going to play this clip, and this is from "Isn't It Time," which was their big hit. And this is a good size clip, so you'll hear what's going on. It has the piano. You'll hear you'll get a good idea of the whole. The versatility of the group and the sound. So thank you guys so much for
being
on the show.
Thank you.
And here is "Isn't It Time."
I feel a warmth in my heart and my soul that I never knew. This love affair gives me strength that I need just to get me through.